Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said it isn't your position that makes you happy or unhappy, it's your disposition. We appreciate this opportunity of Bible study today. We're glad you're listening to Bible Meditations. Now let's get back to our study, and we're talking about the simplicity that is in the New Testament church. Paul says, I fear, this is chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians and verse 3, lest by any means as Satan or the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I believe very plainly the Lord made the way of redemption simple so that men could understand it and know what they needed to do to be saved. Some have the idea that religion is very, very complicated. But I don't believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that the honest, sincere person seeking truth can come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, knock, and it shall be open unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. So if sincerely we seek the truth, we can find that truth revealed in the Word of God. A part of the simplicity of the way of redemption is in that there is one creed for the church, and that creed is the Word of God. It's not a human creed. It's not of human origin. No man or group of men got together and decided what belongs in the Bible. It's a book that came by inspiration of God. Now that just simply means that the Bible can be trusted. When men write down their ideas, men can be mistaken, sometimes wittingly, sometimes unwittingly, but they can be mistaken. But when God told men what to write, they were not mistaken in what they wrote. So I believe very strongly in the inspiration of the Bible and the fact that a Bible is a book that can be understood by all if they would like to do so. Now, at the same time, let me remind you that some people are confused about the Bible because of the way they study. If a person would open his Bible one day and just let it fall open wherever it falls open, read a chapter, and then the next day open his Bible again, just let it fall open, and he reads a chapter which is two or three books beyond where he was before, and he would say, I don't understand. I don't see why those things just don't fit together. Well, no wonder. There's been no systematic study. Is that the way we study history? Could you imagine picking up a history book and reading one day of the Civil War and the next day the Second World War and wonder about the confusion that might be created by trying to put those two things together? We don't do it that way. It's done systematically. Someone has helped us in our study of the Bible by taking the books that belong to a particular category and putting them together in those categories so we know what we're studying when we read those books. With the Old Testament, we have five divisions. The numbers 5, 12 represent the number of books in each one of those divisions. For instance, the first division is the division of law, and there are five books in that division, and hence the term five. So if I'm looking for the books of law of the Old Testament, I look in that category. There also is a division called major prophets. These are the prophets who wrote more than the other prophets did, and so there are five of those major prophets. If I want to read about something that Isaiah or Daniel wrote, I would look in that category, for that's where they are placed. So that helps me to understand my study of the Old Testament. The same has been done in the New Testament. The divisions are 4, 1, 21, and 1. 4 representing the first four books of biography, the life of Christ. If I want to know about Jesus' life and his birth and so forth, I look to the books of biography. And so I'll learn about those things in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is one book that is devoted to the history of the church. And so when I look at that one book, the book of Acts, the book of Acts will tell me about the church. When I look to the 21 epistles, I'm looking to letters that were written by inspired men to churches and individuals. And so when I read those books, I understand the instruction being given from God to those who are children of God. The final book in the New Testament is the book of Revelation, has to do with things that were occurring at that time and tells us or gives us a picture of what heaven and redemption is like. And so the book of Revelation stands in a category by itself, little different from the other books that are in the New Testament. But does it make sense for a person to say, I want to find out about Jesus, therefore I'll read the book of Revelation. I'll start at the back of the Bible. Well, there are things about Jesus in that book, but that doesn't give me the information in that book that I need to know about the life of Jesus. So I study the category that refers to that. Now, keeping that division in mind, we have a better understanding of the Bible. If I read today from the book of Matthew, and tomorrow from the book of Acts, and the next day from the book of Revelation, it might be confusing. So in a systematic study of the Word of God, understanding what I'm reading, then, of course, we can come to a proper knowledge of the truth. My friends, it is not that complicated. And when people say, well, I don't understand the Bible, a lot of times it's the way they study. Not only is that true, I hear people saying, well, there are such big words in the Bible, and I'm confused by the big words that are there. Most of those big words they're referring to are the names of individuals. We learn in our community there are people who have different names. We learn to adapt to those names without too much trouble. And why can we not do so when we're reading about others who have different names in the Bible? Many of those names aren't used today. But that doesn't mean that I can't understand what a person did because I don't understand and know how to pronounce his name. You see, a lot of our confusion about the Bible is confusion we've made in our own minds rather than confusion based on what is said in the Word of God. So in our study, I'd like to suggest to you that the creed is the Word of God and that we have no right to add to, take away from, or twist in any way the things that are in that very simple creed the Lord has given to His church. In the Revelation letter, chapter 22, 18 and 19, we are told we must not add to the words of the book of this prophecy, or the plagues that are written therein would be added unto us. If we take away from the word of the book of this prophecy, our name shall be taken away from the book of life and from the holy city. So we can't add to or take away from. I can almost hear somebody saying, well, preacher, that only refers to the book of Revelation. Now, why would a person make an argument like that? Think about how logical this would be. God says you cannot add to or take away from the book of Revelation, but the rest of the Bible you can do whatever you want to with it. You can add to it or take away from it. That's up to you. Well, quite obviously, that isn't even good nonsense. When God says you can't take away from His book, He means all of the Bible, and it's a very general statement that covers the whole Word of God. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, Moses told the people they could not add to or diminish aught from the Word of God. It is to be a respected book. It can be understood if we apply proper principles of study. It is not beyond us It is not confusing if we'll simply allow God to help us in our study of the Word of God, in the arrangement of the Bible, and finding out the way of salvation. We appreciate being with you today. Hope you'll listen again tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.